In late 19th century America, a frontier holy man's life is destroyed as a gruesome power consumes the land. Standing between ruin and salvation, the man known only as Preacher must find his purpose in the fight against the mysterious undead. Joined by the town marshal, a man with his own set of demons, he faces the risen dead, a ravaged landscape, and the evils of the living on a journey to nowhere. Along the way, the men discover which lines they're willing to cross in the name of survival and witness the depths people reach through the power of belief for good and ill alike. That is not a description of the 2009 Ice Storm. That is actually Revelation Trail. It's the movie from John Gibson, former WKMS employee and a Murray State University student. He now teaches at Northern Kentucky University. John, thanks so much for being on Sounds Good today.
Well, Tracy, thanks for having me. And I got to say, I think I just need to pay you to be the voiceover guy for, like, our updated trailer or something along those lines, because that was pretty awesome.
Hey, man, I'll read ingredients off of the cake mix box if you want me to.
And it'll sound good. It'll sound good. That's what it'll sound like.
It will sound good. I've got to say, John, with the success, the massive success of The Walking Dead, I would say your film is well-timed. But it's been many years in the making, right?
Yeah, it's been about 6 years. Actually, it's been when my wife and I were still down in Murray is actually when the concept was born. And then it's been about a six-year process of getting the script written. You know, we've gone through many drafts. We shot some fundraising trailers, had to raise some money on Kickstarter, and then, you know, eventually got to the point of being able to shoot this film. So, it's about a six-year process total.
Zombie films, westerns, I mean, those are two great tastes. How did you figure out they would taste great together?
It was a friend of mine, Blake Armstrong, called me up, and he was like, yeah, let's make a zombie western. And I'm like, huh, okay. And that was about the extent of it. This was about 6 years ago. But I was finding myself at the time being a little bit more and more into westerns. And specifically, I was always a big fan of, like, the Unforgiven style Clint Eastwood western. You know, my dad was a huge John Wayne fan, but I was more into Al Josie Wells, Clint Eastwood, you know, things along those lines. And I kind of shifted it a little bit and said, well, I think I would rather make a western that has a little bit of a zombie element that creeps its way in. And that kind of became the driving focus for the story was, well, let's make a western that just happens to have this element to it. And how we figured those would be a good combination is that, you know, with the Western, you oftentimes have kind of like the changing frontier, you know, whether it's the telegraph coming in to Deadwood and changing the lives of all of the characters there, industrialization, things of that nature. Well, let's have our changing frontier be the undead, you know, and you know, we pretty much can guarantee that the undead are going to change our frontier scenario quite a bit. And so that's kind of where the idea came from.
So once you decide, let's make a zombie western, what are the first steps you had to take to get this project off the ground?
Yeah, first steps were we had to figure out a way to not only build an audience, but to also finance it. This definitely wasn't something that we could just do with, you know, a couple of bucks and that's it. You know, go out and we had to, you know, figure out a way we'd be able to buy all of our makeup, get our gear, get everybody to the, you know, places we needed to shoot. So to take it back, you know, pretty far, about 3 years ago, a group of former students of mine from NKU and as well as some people from Murray State got together. We shot in Western Kentucky. We shot these marketing trailers. And that's all we had. We had a script and we had a trailer. And so the first part of the process was really creating those trailers to try to build interest in the project. And from there, we were able to find some independent investors and raise some additional funding to shoot this film. That was probably the first step. You know, I mean, to go back even further, obviously, it's, you know, getting the right people and the right talent involved. But that was really the big first step that we took was getting those trailers made.
You mentioned the Kickstarter campaign. Many projects, from movies to records to even books, have been funded, at least in part, if not entirely, by Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. When did you start the campaign? How successful was it? And do you think the zombie craze that has been sweeping America helped with that Kickstarter?
I definitely think that that helped. The craze definitely did help. What was I going to say? As far as when we started it, we rolled into our production. This, to give you a timeline, it was summer of 2011, I guess it was. Yeah, that's about right. So summer of 2011. All the months and years are a blur now. And we have everything kind of lined up. I say kind of because there's always those things that fall between the cracks. But, it's about 2 weeks out before we start to begin production on this feature. And that's a key thing to denote, that it is a feature film. We're about to begin work on this feature. 2 weeks out, we get a call from Fort Massac and based in southern Illinois. And because of the flooding that had happened there and the soil erosion, the park had actually been closed down. And we needed that fort as a crucial location. My historical advisor gives me a call. And, yeah, it's a zombie movie with a historical advisor. That's weird. But he gives me a call, and he says, hey, look, if you give me a month, I'll have you a fort built. And, of course, we're all laughing, and we're like, oh, God, it's going to be a pillow fort. and so turns out he and Mike Hine from Metropolis, Illinois, and a whole bunch of volunteers – build this fort in southern Illinois for us to use for the production. Well, where I'm going with this with Kickstarter is that caused us to have to split our production over really 4 months. So we shot 3 weeks in the summer, and then the finale of the film we shot in the winter. And so I guess it would have been end of summer 2011. We said, we're going to split this, so things are going to cost a bit more money. We got to get money to build the fort. It's going to cost more money in fuel, lodging, things like that. So I'd say September of 2011, we started the Kickstarter campaign. Our goal was 9,000, roughly. We raised 13,000, I think, in about 30 days. And I attribute the success to that as just the enthusiasm, behind the people sharing and the people involved. We had a lot of the people that had been involved in the summer shoot, wanted to see the movie finished. And they really came to our aid, and we were grateful, because it was – there was that – we always knew one way or another we were going to get the movie made, but it sure would have been a whole heck of a lot harder if we didn't have that backing on Kickstarter. And so really that's kind of what propelled us, into the end.
Well, let's talk about casting, I guess especially mm-hmm. the roles of Preacher and also the town marshal. Who did you choose to play these roles, and why did you think they were the right people for the roles?
Sure. We'll start with Preacher. He's Daniel Van Thomas. Folks in Murray State Theater may have known him as Daniel Trump. Daniel was a good friend of mine, a good filmmaking friend of mine from Murray State days. And he was in a couple of projects together. He and I were in together. And he likes to tell the joke that the reason why he was cast was because he had a 5 o'clock shadow. he is half true there, honestly. But anyway, so, it really, casting for Preacher, it was already known. I mean, honestly, the only way Daniel wasn't going to be cast is if, Paramount came in and said, we're buying the film and we're putting, Nathan Fillion in place of Preacher, in which case I'd be like, dude, sorry, Daniel, you got to go. It's Nathan Fillion. But So he was pretty much set early on. Marshall Edwards was actually a Cincinnati-based actor, Daniel Britt. And I had known Daniel for a while just through some other productions, and I always thought I'd really like to have this guy in a film. He's great. He's got a certain wisdom to him, a certain look. And originally the role of Edwards, I think, was going to be a little bit younger. Well, I asked Daniel Britt just to audition, and he was fantastic. And I'm like, this guy's it. This guy is the marshal. And so that's kind of how we got on board with him. And if you've seen the trailer, you might even recognize a certain Murray State journalism professor in the midst of all the folks, Mr. Bob Valentine. And, Bob, again, was a mentor of Daniel and a friend of mine from Murray. And, he was one that we were like, well, wouldn't it be cool if Bob Valentine was in this movie? Wouldn't it be cool if Bob Valentine was in this movie? And it was like the light bulb went off in our heads. And we were like, okay, let's ask Bob if he'd be willing to do this. And sure enough, that's how we got him. So,
well, let me ask, it's quite a task to make a feature-length mm-hmm. film. And I know that you've been involved in projects, stop motion, animation, mm-hmm. and things like that. But did you have any preconceived notions of what to expect when you undertook this production? And were these proved correct or wrong? What were the lessons that you learned from this movie?
How long do we have for this interview? No, I'm joking. There were a lot of preconceived notions, some of them a little bit more realistic than others. If you talked to John Gibson in May of 2011, you would have seen this optimistic producer who's like, oh, yeah, this is going to be fun. You know, I've done quite a few shorts. You know, I've kind of built up the experience. You know, talk to the battle-hardened John Gibson at the end of the winter shoot, who's, you know, shaggy and probably has 40,000 more gray hairs than before. There definitely were some expectations that I had that definitely, you know, came true, and then some that didn't. The biggest thing is I knew that life was going to throw us curveballs as we were working on this. I didn't realize how bad some of those curveballs would be. And so that was kind of one of those expectations that, we had that kind of came true. But, you know, really, like I said, the loss of the fort, having to split the production, you know, sometimes actors getting sick, you know, right before call time and having to, you know, figure out a way to troubleshoot this. And that's where I give a lot of credit to the crew, to the cast and crew for really pulling through on that. And I think that was, for me, that's what helped us out in terms of a feature, you know, because there were a whole new set of issues to run into that you don't run into on shorter productions. Our cast and crew, looking at the credits, I would put the number in about 200, 250 people involved, between extras, crew, you know, things of that nature. And having to manage, you know, that many people, it definitely was an expectation that I wasn't ready for. And so, like I said, there's more that I can ramble on about, but the short of it is that there definitely were some challenges that arose that had no idea about, you know, how to counter those. And really it became a learning lessons on the fly, you know, like improvising basically.
So now your Christmas morning, if you will, is coming up on April 12th as finally Revelation Trail is going to premiere at Maiden Alley Cinema. Why did you choose Maiden Alley as the venue to premiere the show?
Maiden Alley is just awesome. There are a couple of reasons why. We were a lot of our. We'll get back to the Maiden Alley's awesome part here in just a moment, but a couple of reasons why we shot about 60% of the movie in Western Kentucky and Southern Illinois. That's where quite a few of us are from. Now, obviously, I've got a pretty large Northern Kentucky, Cincinnati contingent as well, and we are most definitely bringing the film back to here. You know, sometime in the next couple of months. But we chose Western Kentucky because, for me, Western Kentucky, and again, the focus being on Maiden Alley, but Western Kentucky was our proving ground for becoming filmmakers. You know, it was the area where we ran around Murray State shooting things when we were involved in the Murray Independent Filmmaker Association. Western Kentucky is where Daniel and I shot a lot of short films. And so it seemed only right to bring it back to there. Now, when it comes to Maiden Alley, to go back to the Maiden Alley is awesome part. Maiden Alley is just it's a great beacon in that region in terms of the arts, and anything that we can do to kind of showcase that and to be a part of that. I've seen many films at Maiden Alley just when I used to live in that area, and I remember always thinking, man, I can't wait until I can actually show something on the screen. And so now, being able to come back and show a feature on that screen, it seems only fitting. And I do want to say that the premiere, since you brought up Maiden Alley is actually one of the sponsors for the premiere, and they've been super kind to us. But we've also had a lot of support from Shandy's and Golden Cat Films and Paducah as well. So all three of them are helping to bring the movie to Maiden Alley.
And the premiere is actually going to be Friday, April 12th at 7, mm-hmm. and then again at 9. Those first two shows, John, have already sold out. So we're looking at a Saturday, April 13th, 4 p.m. showing, and then two on Sunday, the 14th, a 4 and a 7. So you've got to be excited about the reception that the movie's getting.
We are excited. We're stoked. I mean, you got to keep in mind, every time we do a lot on Facebook, and not only are we stoked about, you know, shows selling out, but I hope the listeners realize that this is us behind our Facebook page. And so when we post something and we see like 80,000 likes, you know, of course that's maybe a slight exaggeration, but we see, you know, 80 likes on something and people are excited, that palpable, enthusiasm, it means the world to us. And so, you know, we're so thankful that people are wanting to see this and that have been a part of this, you know, and are helping to get those screenings sold out.
And with the premiere coming up, maybe people want to get a look at the movie before they decide mm-hmm. to go see it. What's the website address?
Yeah, you can go. I'll give you a couple of things. One is revelationtrail.com, which right now just redirects to our YouTube channel because we're in the process of actually upgrading our original site. But on the YouTube channel, you can actually see the official trailer as well as a scene from the film. And so I will, you know, I do want to give listeners a heads up. There's definitely some language in the film. There's definitely violence. The gore is not super extreme, you know, so it's definitely not an Evil Dead style blood all over the place, stuff like that. But, you know, I do want to caution people that there is some language, you know, some violence. But you can see that in the trailer. And again, that's at youtube.com/revelationtrail. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is Revelation Trail. Pretty much Google Revelation Trail, and you'll find several different pages for it. We tried to gobble up as many things like that as we could early on.
That's great. John Gibson, a writer, director, I guess pretty much a little bit of everything behind the movie Revelation Trail. We're excited that your movie is going to premiere here in Western Kentucky, and I thank you very much for taking time to talk to me today.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for having me on, and I got to say, it's darn good to be back on WKMS, man. I definitely miss that place a lot, so you guys hold a special place in our hearts up here.
Well, we appreciate it, and we miss you, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right, thanks, Tracy.
John Gibson, the man behind the movie Revelation Trail. It premieres Friday, April 12th at Maiden Alley Cinema. But again, the two Friday shows have sold out, so you want to get in on the Saturday and Sunday shows if you want to see Revelation Trail.